Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, we've got wholesale inflation skyrocketing 11% in April, that above the previous skyrocketing inflation. You've got the lack of baby formula everywhere, you know, except, of course, if you are on government programs, they've got you taken care of a little bit. Somewhat, kind of, sort of. You've got the Stalinist, communist, great reset, regime of Biden-Harris. Those two puppets who are in charge here in the Western world, laughably, setting the stage to weaponize all aspects of our lives. I mean, weaponize everything against us, you and I. Very interesting, the fact that the middle class, the farmers, the truckers, the people that make this country run are the enemies now of this state. Understand, please understand, folks, that, my goodness, what people like Steve Quayle and what Steve Quayle has been warning about for how many years now is now upon us. And, you know, I happened to read a comment in the comment section on our videos. And I don't comment unless it's germane to the, unless it positively impacts the intellectual discourse, which this one didn't. You know, fear mongering, bunch of fear porn. You know, I rank that phrase fear porn up right up there with conspiracy theory. Okay. If you are intellectually bankrupt enough, or too intellectually bankrupt, not to recognize where we're at in the timeline of things, there's no helping you. There is no discussion with you. We can't have a discussion, let alone a relationship. We can't have anything to do with one another. As far as I'm concerned, you, and I mean the people that feel that way, that this is a bunch of fear porn, you have blood on your hands, the blood of the innocent. And that might sound harsh, but that's the way I feel. Because it's because of you that people decline to prepare. It's because of you and people like you who cause other people to make improper decisions. Or assist them in making improper decisions. Remember, trust the government, right? Trust, hey, we're here to help you. Get the injecticide shots. Injecticide. Now, all of this together, combined with the upcoming, and this is a big deal. Steve Wells reported on this too. You know, who, I wrote a piece for Wisconsin Christian News coming out in the next issue of Wisconsin Christian News, who will mandate global lockdowns. Another piece of the puzzle coming into play here with Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, Great Reset, United Nations takeover. The fact that we are now, the United States now is one of 194 countries entering into an agreement that will cede our sovereignty over to a one world governance situation. That's right. In case you haven't noticed, there is the World Health Organization is meeting the end of this month, end of May, 22nd through the 28th, and a woman by the name of Lois Price is the point person for the United States to issue amendments that will cede the sovereignty of the United States, U.S. going all in with the World Health Organization. This in direct opposition to what President Trump wanted to do, and that was pulling the U.S. funding and withdrawing from the World Health Organization, citing the conflict of U.S. nationalist ideology and conflicting with the conflicting COVID response. Now, if you think that COVID, of course, was just an unfortunate pandemic that happened No, it was planned, and there's more coming on top of that. And one last thing, you know, Steve Quayle has always been right on the money with precious metals. And you know, there's one guy I do turn to when I want to know about precious metals. Has anyone found it interesting that Reddit, if you go on Reddit, and folks, you know what that is, right? It's just a forum on the internet. Of course, crypto tanked. A couple of crypto accounts tanked. People have lost like their entire savings. People are losing their houses, and people are saying, "Well, you know what? I'm killing myself. I got to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself." And there are a record number of posts like that on Reddit because of this foolishness with respect to cryptocurrencies and going all in on that. And it's by design. It's by design. So with me is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Gen6.com, a guy that I consider an older brother, not much older, but I consider an older brother, and a truth teller, and one that has his finger on the pulse of everything that's current and coming up. Steve, thanks for joining me. Didn't mean to take too much time out, but I wanted to at least lay the introduction down as to what's going on.
Well, it's critical, Doug, and those people that have called you, me, mostly me, and fear porn, conspiracy theorists, I believe you're either a federal agent, you're either a bot, or you're either so stupid that you have come to death. Now, where are we at? Let's just give an overview. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand what Doug just said. We've watched Biden destroy this country. We've watched the lockdown destroy this country. And hardly a whimper from and when you hear Lindsey Graham saying, "I'm glad that Biden is the president for this time and hour," we're at the place of World War III. It's not getting any less. And, you know, Doug, I'm called that all the time. Was I a fear monger when I warned everybody in mega drought that people are going to basically be moving? They're going to run out of water. It becomes more and more dire. That food would be the most precious commodity along with drinkable water. I've been saying that for over three decades on talk radio as a guest before I had my own show. So I categorically say to those people, blood is on your hands. Your tongue will cleave. This isn't a curse. Your tongue will cleave to the roof of your mouth. When you mock the ability of others, and some, unfortunately, Doug, you and I both know there are some weak-minded people that are just wanting to get somebody to tell them the truth. Anybody who uses that terminology, in my opinion, is an enemy of the truth, is an enemy of life, and they are conspirators in the murder and the disintegration of our country. We have watched over and over what was termed conspiracy theory. Fear-mongering? Are you kidding me? How dare you mentally challenged midgets even use that word? We're watching, and you don't even know the true amount of people who are dead in the United States because of all the lies associated with the assassination of people. The point is that now everything is coming out. The Germans are saying we've got 500,000 people with adverse effects to the vaccine. If people knew how many pilots are dying in the cockpits, commercial, good thing they have co-pilots, how many pilots in the private realm are dying, and how many people in the military have died, I'm talking pilots. Ladies and gentlemen, you have watched the United States be systematically taken apart. And Doug, we may have to have Eric edit this because I'm no longer. Look, here's the deal. If you have waited to prepare, then you waited too long. I'm sorry. That's it. You can still take advantage of whatever's out there. Bob Griswold, let me give you a good example on storage food. I was one of the biggest providers of storage food back a couple of years before the turn of the, you know, before Y2K. And I was so well connected. Anybody and everybody around the world that made food, even that was imported in this country, I pretty much knew them or their sales team. That's not bragging, that's history. And so when we were telling people the day would come, you wouldn't be able to get any food. Oh, you just sell fear to sell food. Go ahead, eat the bitterness of your guile. Choke on your own vomit. Now, look, here's the deal. Doug, you just made a statement that the United Nations were going to cede national sovereignty to the United Nations unless a miracle of Almighty God is put into place. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you one tactic of the devil. The devil knows he probably has the equivalent of fallen angel videos or crystals storing the history of mankind, and pulls out Sodom and Gomorrah, points to all the fallen angels and says, look at how well it worked then. He gets human beings to rebel against the living God, and then God, because he's holy, brings an end to it. And Doug, because of the lateness of the hour, June 1st, I want to get this in right now, June 1st, I want everybody worldwide who's a believer, whatever time zone, when it hits June 1st, I'm calling for a 24-hour period of prayer and fasting. But for the repentance of those, whatever nation you live in, for the sins of your nation, for the sins of your personal sins. And then if you say, well, I don't have anything to repent of, you're already lost because you have forsaken the word of God. Repent and believe. And so we're going to pray, and this is the focus after beseeching the God of heaven that he will pour out his supernatural miracle-working power in his people's lives to become the salt of the earth. I got a word from somebody, and it wasn't a word personally to me, but the woman got a word from God saying, pray not for your country, pray for my people in your country to face, to be able to stand and go through the destruction that's already playing out before their eyes. Doug, June 1st, International Day of Prayer and Fasting, to seek God, because we know the scripture. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And the Bible thumping that unfortunately hasn't thumped from the pulpit, obviously the word of God is precious. There's a famine for very few pulpit personalities are calling the country to repentance. They're not calling out to God because they got a good thing going. Look, here's the thing. The salt has lost its savor, but we as individuals are going to be responsible for whether our kids eat or don't. When you watch the intentional starvation, and by the way, it's not only white children in America, I'm talking newborns with this lack of baby formula, and all Americans, brothers and sisters, people, critics, you're watching the end of the human race. And if 250 million babies slaughtered in the womb, I just, Doug, really? I would like to use a word, I won't use it. There's no way. People are more offended if somebody says the S word than they are about all the people that have died over the bioweapon. And now we know that the report's coming out that the whole COVID-19 goes back to report in 2015, and the United States government was complicit with a red Chinese. So what does that make the CDC, Center for Disease Creation? What does that make Fauci? What does that make all the National Institute of Health people? Ladies and gentlemen, you allowed them to rob us of our most important thing, freedom. There's no liberty. Are you kidding me? Lockdown? And they're talking about a global lockdown. That is a global lockdown when they come to take you away and you never return unless you pay the eternal price. I don't know when that's planned, but that is planned. We must, on the 1st of June, globally, internationally, June 1st, 12 o'clock midnight, wherever your time zone is, be calling upon God to forgive your country for its sins and your nation for its sins, and then your own personal sins. But say, God, your word is going to be fulfilled. But pour out. This is the bottom line. I'm sorry, I want to be very clear. Pour out your spirit and the same generous nature of the book of Acts. Because Lord, there is no other, quote, revival except the Spirit of God. And Doug, the most deafening madness, in my opinion, and the most heartbreaking sadness, in my opinion, is the fact that 99% that at least they've identified themselves, is not necessarily your listeners and viewers, but we both know we have our critics here. The bottom line is, don't care. They don't see that there's no food. No food simply means that when the restaurants can't get it shipped in, when transportation undergoes dieselgedon, there's no diesel fuel, when there's 2 million plus containers of Chinese goods being intentionally not allowed to be released in this country. Hey, we made ourselves dependent upon Chinese. When people can't get insulin, 90, I thought it was 80. It's 90% of pharmaceuticals, so the pharmaceutical components aren't available. So the thing is it's lessening and lessening and lessening, but we just scratch our head or other places. Sorry, I don't know how to be blunt. I really have a desire just to tell it like it is, because if it needs, you know, Ranger battalion talk or, you know, military hardcore talk, maybe that will change, but it won't, because people will never move in anticipation of evil. And when evil arrives, it's too late to move. So, you know, we're talking about the greatest threat to our freedom. By the way, it's my contention. I was warning years ago we were undergoing a communist takeover and takedown. I would say this. I cannot say undergoing. We have been overrun. We have experienced the communist takeover and takedown. And ladies and gentlemen, all of the munitions that are being sent to the Ukraine from people I know in that part of the world who make sure messages get sent to me, it's all going into the black market. Doug, it's insanity. In other words, everybody's getting their kickback of, you know, that $95 billion that the entity in the slaughterhouse, and you're going to learn that the White House has turned into the slaughterhouse. And if you knew, and Doug, most people won't believe, you know, if you told people what went on of absolute selling out to Lucifer and all the ceremonies and everything, they won't believe it. No. But here's what they better believe. They cannot deny the fact that when their tummies start to churn, that, gee, I got to go get some food, but there is no food. They can't deny when they can't get on their, you know, telephone, cell phone, whatever, that, gee, there's no phone. They can't deny when they go to the fridge and maybe there's still some ketchup, mustard, maybe some garnish, and you put that in hot water if you've got a camp stove, and that becomes your mustard soup or your tomato soup. They used to make that statement that, you know, people would go into restaurants just to get order a cup of hot water, pay for it, and put tomato in it, and that's the ketchup package. That was tomato soup. Now, here's the thing. What does it take, Doug? You know, what does it take? And here's the answer. There's nothing more that can be done. There's nothing more that can be said. We can give people up-to-date information. We can tell them that, look, you know, go to, and we'll do this right now too, but go to the satellite phone store. Yes, this is a commercial. We warned, Doug, you and I were talking, get the satellite phones, get them. So, well, you can get them. The day will come, you can't get them. Can't get those right now. But the Bivy stick is a two-way satellite to satellite. This is a like the old Blackberries, and you don't need to use cell phone towers. This goes satellite to satellite. Use your cell phone just to do the keypad. We're no longer limited to 137 characters. And the bottom line is we can go 1,000 characters. And now with the Bivy stick, Galileo's priced into it. Galileo's a real-time information service. But guess what, you guys? The people started seeing that there was a need. The people, the satellite companies, started seeing that there was a need for information, and they wanted in on the action. And that's why there were some interferences. But with the Bivy stick, it's a different story. And the reason it's a different story, by the way, these are $69.95 a month. You get the thing free. They only have, I think, less than 3 or 4,000. If you think that's a lot, once Mike Adams and Doug Hagman and I in our interviews go live, that can be sold out by the end of this month. What is it, the 12th of May, if not sooner.
Yep.
Once that's done, we have to wait. All these things involve microelectronics. And if you know anything about microelectronics, a lot of the integrated circuits and all of the higher technology uses neon gas. Guess what? Neon gas is now not coming in to any of the countries that put embargoes on Russia, because Russia's not shipping it to anybody. So you're watching the Western Europe and the U.S. pretty much making war on Russia on economic sanctions, but 30% of the world's wheat comes from Ukraine. That's not good. And if that isn't enough to infuriate you, you know, you only have to look to Ukraine. What does Ukraine have to do with anything in America? Why our farmers should be charged 10 times an acre higher for fertilizer? What does that have to do? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the orchestrated implementation now of the destruction of useless eaters. Oh, by the way, that's you. That's me. That's us. Go ahead, Doug.
And much like, okay, so carrying on that theme, for example, Bill Gates now, he is heavily invested in lab-produced breast milk. All right? Now, all of a sudden, we have this baby formula shortage, and it's not transitory, it's not temporary, it's going to be permanent, and that's by design. So whether it's the fertilizer shortage, in air quotes, whether it's the wheat, consequential wheat shortage, all of this is by design. They're coming after our food because they can control us through food. They're already after our oil and gas. It's not a coincidence that yesterday Americans paid the highest price for gasoline in history. At the very same time, Joe Biden just canceled our largest pending American oil and gas lease sale. What does that tell you? It tells you that we are being led into this slaughter. And if people don't see what's going on, look, there are conspiracies. There are no coincidences. I'm kind of the opposite of Bannon's war room, you know, when they say there are no conspiracies or there are no coincidences, but there are conspiracies or whatever it is. I'm telling you right now, there are conspiracies, and the conspiracies are in play right now, and we are the victims or the intended victims of this Great Reset. Look, they published the book, Klaus Schwab published the book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset. I mean, they gave you the plans. What do you... Why are we even talking about this or about the legitimacy of this information? So having said all of that, we need to, at this point, in my view, Steve, and I'm going to kick it back to you, if we don't warn others as much as possible, pray like we've never prayed before, and then decide to go on the offensive when appropriate and when it comes to our door, then we, you know, are, as far as I'm concerned, are useless not only to ourselves, but to our family and as Christians. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Christians are to be the salt of the earth, but unfortunately, they think that means seasoning those who are telling the truth. Because I can tell you this, Doug, Jesus said broad is a way that leads to destruction, or the path that leads to destruction, but narrow, the straight and narrow, is a way that leads to eternal life. And I think that people have got to understand God takes a tithe of the earth. So let's just take fill in the blanks, X. We've seen no greater denial of the Lord Jesus Christ in any time in history than we're seeing now in the contemporary church. We're not even seeing any admonition to repent. Now, I want to make it clear. The most difficult thing for 90% of Christendom to believe is that God is holy and that he does have righteous judgment. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? We know the patterns of behavior that have resulted in the destruction, Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon. And by the way, it wasn't just the obvious sins that are associated with Sodom's name, but it was how they dealt with the poor, how they basically made anybody other than the elite Sodomites or whatever, you know, the people that were, how do I say this, totally at war with God. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think of how many people escaped that judgment, it was only a very few. And one of them, Lot's wife, looked back and she became the salt of the earth in a pillar form. Because here's the thing, Doug, we can't get understanding the word conspiracy, which simply means, look it up, two or more people agreeing on a predetermined outcome, usually illegal, usually immoral. That's why they call it a criminal conspiracy. That's why RICO laws were put into effect. But when you've got all the whole world lying the evil one, and let's say this, unless there's an exception, the majority of the rulers of the world are have all pretty much yielded their power unto the beast. I now understand why the scripture says, who is able to make war on the beast? Nobody except Jesus. But God will deliver his people that call upon him. So conspire until you go throwing that word about. And, you know, I'm going to say something. You can change the word. But if you want to be a dumb cluck and continue to just peck, 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 next time you go to the store and you've got a child and you're a liberal and, gee, there's no baby for me, and you sure couldn't use your God-given milk factory because, you know, your breasts, because that wouldn't be cool. And now what we have is this. We've got a bunch of people saying to the government, give us milk, give us formula. And so now we've got a situation where we're finding all the baby formula has been shipped to the southern border for the immigrants. Children who require baby formula. Displacement and destruction are going hand in hand. Replacement and reduction population are going hand in hand. And unfortunately, God has called the Lord, unfortunately, God's people don't understand that he is the Lord of the armies of heaven. That's why there is no end to the evil until Jesus comes. But prior to that, we're going to have a false World War III. I remember people mocked that statement. There's never going to be a World War III, blah, 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 blah. You watch the word nuclear weapons being thrown around. Right now, the world has declared war on Russia, especially Switzerland even, you know. Swiss used to have 500 years of bank secrecy, okay? They used to be where everybody in the world put their money. Guess what? They just basically changed 500 years of history when they stated that, you know, we're going to seize all of Russia's assets and cash. If this will come as a surprise to everybody, they didn't do that when Hitler was around, of all the Nazi high command. Interesting. So you've got the situation of Nazis in the Ukraine, real Nazis. And I maintain, Doug, and you know this, that the Nazis won World War II. And even the people that don't talk anything about the Third Reich, they basically are the Third Reich, whether they're in the pharmaceutical business, the financial business, all of these areas are controlled by that same spirit. And what Lucifer has promised, and this went back to the days of Admiral Byrd, we can't go there, but the bottom line was that the Nazis would be given their millennial reign, if you will. They would become the Übermensch, these supermen. They would basically rule and reign. And as proof of that, that's what's going on behind the scenes. That's why the whole world is yielding the world. The whole world lies in evil and Jesus, their power. Now, I say, people say, well, yeah, I just don't want to hear that Christian stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, you better understand something. That the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I've got to say this, Doug. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is what he is the one that's opening the seals. He is the one that's revealing. And it's the only book that promises a blessing that to those who read it and keep the words of the book of Revelation. You know why pulpits won't preach prophetic teaching, the majority? And by the way, there's surveys out there. I think it's something that 95% of pulpits will not preach prophecy. It's not because they don't want to scare the people. It's because they want their money. You start preaching business. Prophecy. Yeah. Yeah. And Doug, you know, they want your money so they can make sure their readouts and their jets can get them out of Dodge. And they've made deals. And they've trafficked in men's lives. They've trafficked in the souls of God's people. That's why the only way that I know, and this is why I think, and a brother told me, he said, this is what God's laid on my heart after praying and fasting. I said, yeah, that bears witness. The thing that will protect the people of God, those who have faith and are looking to Jesus, is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the same power that turned the world upside down, that challenged Rome, that absolutely took on paganism. But now we're in the time of some of the Greek prophets, and they weren't speaking from the Spirit of God, of the return of the old gods. That simply means that Satan, his fallen angels, and the demons now are given pretty much free reign, and that they cannot touch the Christians who have yielded to the Holy Ghost. Now, also, when Jesus said we're going to be his witnesses, nobody wants to be, you know, martyred. That's what the word witnesses means in Greek. But the thing is that we're seeing everything now vilify Christians. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, you may get offended at the F word, but everybody who's now coming against the Christians are saying that word in front of the Christians. Then it's followed by kill them. Then it's followed by blame them. Then it's followed by destroy them. So, ladies and gentlemen, what Doug, and I guess this is a rhetorical question, what will get people's attention? And my statement is, unless they call on God, those who claim to be Christians, they're going to be sucked in, because we will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. And by the way, the takedown in all commodities is designed to basically rob you of any substance for these last, if it's weeks or less than a couple of months, to prepare and get anything. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, gold, you know, you see it on the spot market. This is a 1 ounce gold bar, breakable into 10. These things, gold, everybody is buying around the world. The only people that are saying, put your money into Bitcoin, put your money into this, put your money into that. You know, we've got 9% yields. I saw one guy that's a pro gold guy, and he sent me an email saying, well, these guys will pay 9%. The history of money is always you bait it at the beginning and you steal it at the end. In other words, promise you 9%. It works like this. You give me $1 million, I'm going to give you your $90,000 in interest right up front. That's your first year. Guess what, Doug? At the end of the first year, when you go, well, I need my money back, now they go silent. You go to a lawyer, and oh, then they tell you, get in line. Those guys have just left the country. That literally happened. The bottom line is we're now in a point unlike any point that you've ever seen. You're not going to be able to go and get a Big Mac or a Burger King or, you know, taco this or taco that. And, you know, now what do you got to get? Drag burgers or drag tacos, dragicos? I mean, one of the biggest taco chains is, you know, having Drag Queen Week. Well, they tried that, by the way, when they came out with 666 meals. That failed. And so what I think people have got to understand, it's so in our face. We're being mocked. We're being set up for the total destruction of human lives, to the point that Bill Gates is maintained. And I am told that Bill Gates is the one that paid for the Mr. Christian. That was the name he used. Notice that, for the Georgia Guidestones. Maintain global population of 500 million. Ladies and gentlemen, you're seeing the decimation at 7.9 billion, the beginning of 7.4 billion humans' deaths. And oh, but by the way, you get to eat goo, synthetic baby milk. Yeah, right. Or you get to eat, lab created meat. Oh, yeah, right. What is so strange to me, Doug, maybe you should teach, seriously, I'm not kidding, a basic evidence course on what evidence is, or at least historically was, and how you draw conclusions. Go ahead. This is just beside me how we get so much feedback. And now the farmers can't plant their fields. Yep. Obviously, the trucks aren't going to be run. Go ahead, sir.
No, I mean, you're 100% right. And it's interesting because people will look at evidence square. And I mean, they will look at something and they have been conditioned and convinced not to believe their own eyes. You know, it's something because now, and this kind of goes to what you were saying earlier. For example, the Daily Mail reported, I think it was yesterday, that, again, going back to the formula, artificial breast milk firm that offers an environmentally friendly alternative to baby formula, well, they got $3.5 million from an investment fund backed by Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg. The same names keep popping up over and over again, along with Klaus Schwab and George Soros and Alexander Soros and others. And here we are. We're being told, hey, you know what? This is all just a bunch of hooey and conspiracy nonsense and all that. But yet it's here. And moms are feeling it. And also, too, what you had said earlier, many years ago, genetically modified food, better for the environment. Hey, we'll grow the food in a lab. It's here now. They want to starve us. They want to control us through the food. And of course, people talking about, well, you know, 7.5 billion on the planet, that's, we're just too overpopulated. We got to drop that down to at least a billion, if not less. That's what's happening right now. They're saying the quiet part out loud. And the question becomes then, Steve, how do Christians fight back? The next segment, and folks, you're going to want to stay for this. And Steve, I'm going to, if it's all right with you, let's bring on a man who wrote a book that to me is like a companion to the Bible, or should be, for Christians. It's called Nehemiah Strong, and that's the name of the book. And the fact of the matter is this: we as Christians have been instructed by God Almighty to act and act in a godly, righteous manner, according to Scripture. And of course, many people don't know how to do that. The author of Nehemiah Strong, John Dyson, in fact, known to many within the conferences and such, wrote this fantastic book. And if with your permission, we'll bring him on, if that's all right.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I wrote a endorsement of it because two of my most favorite passages in the entire Old Testament, especially in the book of Nehemiah, come from the statement Nehemiah was a warrior builder. And he could see what was going on. And this is a good intro right now for John, Doug. And he, when God put it within his heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the thing is that he said, neither told I any man what God had placed within my heart to do. He also said, fight for your families, fight for your little ones, fight for your homes. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know it. If you own a mortgage, your home is already pledged to whoever is, high enough on the Luciferian ladder of obedience to be occupied. That's the curse that comes upon a land that turns against God. If you have a house that's free and clear, simple. They don't have to back up anything. And Doug, this is what's going to happen. When this is why you see some of the biggest companies in the world, the biggest company like BlackRock, buying up so much real estate. Who's going to be able to afford it? Certainly no Americans that have all of their money invested in, whether it's crypto, which is crasho today, whether it's anything. Now, worldwide, it's happening, ladies and gentlemen. So I think John Dyson wrote the book for this time specifically. And I think it's important because the United States is going to be vanquished. You watch the military be destroyed, yet God can still raise up an army in the power of God, in the determination. Doug, one of the things you've asked me over and over, and I think it's a valid question, what can people do? Absolutely nothing unless they determine in their heart that the freedom, the liberty, their children's lives, their children's future are strong. And the walls in this country are down. And unfortunately, we've all looked outside to the days that, and they will come, the Russian Chinese, but we forgot about all the traitors. And the command center for treason is the White House. Go ahead and bring John on.
All right. And what you said is exactly correct. All right, folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. Folks, make sure you subscribe to Steve Quayle's briefings. Go to stevequayle.com. That's kind of like the landing page, the homepage for everywhere else. You can go to gen6.com and such. But make sure you subscribe and get his private briefings because they are so important to knowing what you need to know. And by the way, the censorship will overtake us, and it'll be a very short time before this platform is off air. All right. You know, we talked about, Steve and I were talking about, what do Christians do? What should we be doing right now? Because we've got a fight on our hands. Whether you know it or not, we got a fight on our hands. Now, as people know, listeners and viewers know, I love to read. I love to write, but I love to read. And when a book comes across my desk, that strikes me, man, I'll tell you what, I'm all over that book like two coats of paint, all right? I'm telling you. I've, over the last couple of years, I've had people ask me to endorse their books and blurb their books, and I've declined. A lot of them I've declined. This one, as soon as I got it, I started reading it. And the author, John Dyslin, the link to his website to get this book will be in the program description box. He sent me an email saying, you know, I'm kind of on a time crunch here. Can you send me the, would you endorse it or send a blurb? And I said, absolutely, I will. But I'm still reading it. And it's 480 pages filled with information, tactical information that, in my personal opinion, every Christian needs right now. If you've got a Bible, and kind of like Nehemiah, okay? Nehemiah, building the wall, you know, brick in one hand and a sword in the other, going. So that's kind of the way I look at Christians today. We're building, yet we're fighting. We have to engage. We have to continue to build. We can do two things at once. We can. Nehemiah is strong. Is one of the most, at least in my opinion, is one of the most critical and much needed books written for the times in which we live, and those times that we and our children will undoubtedly face. Its value to Bible-believing Christians who desire to fight tyranny actively and righteously, and most importantly, with godly obedience and scriptural authority, cannot be overstated. John Dyslin has very skillfully, artfully combined the historical lessons documented by literary notables such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller, the warnings of Solzhenitsyn, the doctrines of Sun Tzu with applicable scripture and biblical instruction that will serve as a guide for Christians born for times such as these. Nehemiah Strong, that's the name of the book. It provides us Christians with a practical blueprint for all of us who are fighting a spiritual battle in the physical, which, by the way, this is a nexus far too often overlooked. It's the ultimate field manual for Christians born for times such as these. Nehemiah Strong is the book for which I've been searching, and now I've found it. Seriously, its importance and relevance will only increase in generations to come. And I'm so honored to have with me, as well as Steve Quayle, John Dyslin, the author of this book right here, Nehemiah Strong. And the reason I'm so hot on books, and hot on this book especially, it is because I've got to tell you, all right, if you're like I am, I want to be obedient, I want to follow Scripture, but I also want to engage. All right, so with me, Steve Quayle, again, still with me, and John Dyslin, the author of the book Nehemiah Strong. So what I'll do, should I turn to Eric the Tech, because we just had a little break there, should I turn it over to Steve? Is he ready? All right, let me turn it over to Steve, and Steve can kind of give you his own introduction, because I value his input as a Christian, and then we can introduce John as well. Steve, to you, sir.
Well, first of all, I've met John, and also I know that he's one of two voices that has been calling for the church to stand up and to stand up for the living God and to fight the battle that needs to be fought. And what's interesting about this is John, and I did write a endorsement because I categorically believe Nehemiah is the blueprint for our time. And first and foremost, I said this, John, that the two most, and you know this, two of my most favorite scriptures in the Old Testament is when Nehemiah was told to do by God what God had placed within his heart. He didn't share it with anybody, but he had a plan, and he was alert. And there's no alertness, and I think you're, in essence, the guy that's spying out what needs to be done. There's no flattery here, but this is the right word for the right time, because God's people, and there's two groups. Let me just dismiss. Real believing followers of Jesus Christ are looking for the pattern and are looking for the, if you will, the protocol to engage the enemy, because there's too much, what I would say, this arguments over being wimpy or not wimpy. That isn't in the Word of God. And so Nehemiah is commanding people to fight for their families, fight for their little ones, fight for their homes. And we're watching Christendom, D-U-M-B, okay, I spell Christendom now with no reflection against Jesus, but Christendom, the claimants to Christianity, totally abandoning the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and allowing their families to be slaughtered unless they stand up, believing God to do what God can do, but they need to do what they can do. So I think this is a so timely and important book, John. God bless you, and take it. Because, Doug, we need to let John use the maximum amount of time to present what God has placed within his heart to do.
Right on, brother. John, to you, sir.
Well, thank you all both, and thank you particularly, Doug, for giving me this forum to debut and introduce Nehemiah Strong to our brothers and sisters in Christ, which God laid on my heart primarily to focus on in writing this book. I think it might be instructive, Doug, if I started out by talking about the genesis of the book in my heart. Much like the other listeners, of whom I'm a listener, I'm a follower of yours and tracking your work and watching your interviews, and was first awakened for legitimately about 8 years ago. And as I was kind of shocked and appalled increasingly at what was going on and seeing the layers of the lies being peeled back and delving into these hard truths that more and more people are now getting exposed to. Well, first of all, I went through this cycle of just shock at what was going on, what was transpiring, and the true nature of evil, which really helped me understand a scripture that I hadn't understood before, Doug, which was with much wisdom comes much anguish, and an increase in knowledge increases sorrow. When I was a young man, that scripture made no sense to me. It makes sense to me now. And so as that went on, a couple of things happened. First of all, I felt a sense of fatigue, just the ongoing drumbeat of the just horrible news and revealing of the wickedness surrounding us in this world today troubled me. But also what began to happen for me as well, Doug, was I really got stimulated and motivated to start asking the question, well, what do we do now? What is a proper response for a man of God? And thank God I was saved 2014. What is a proper response for us in the times that we live? And Doug, a scripture that reverberates in my spirit, one of my favorite scriptures, is from Isaiah 59, which says, when evil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And for me, that standard is Jesus Christ. But that picture is a picture of a battlefield and of a standard bearer raising up a standard, and the fellow soldiers who are on that battlefield, which includes all of us, whether we recognize it or not, we are all on this battlefield. We are to run to that standard. We are to honor the call that is represented by that standard being raised, and we are to engage in the fight. And it's the spirit of that, Doug, that got me off my duff. and I was busy with other things in the fight, but that really motivated me starting about 2 years ago now to write Nehemiah Strong.
Well,
that was the genesis of it.
And this could not, I don't think the timing could be better, and I'm going to just let you continue. But, you know, I get so many emails from people saying, well, as a Christian, what can I do to fight back, for example, against things like forced injecticide? What can I do to, I'm being made, you know, to take this forced injecticide because of my job or whatever the case might be. There are so many situations that we have to exercise in civil disobedience, if not outright uncivil disobedience that, you know, we look to the Bible. So this to me is like the military, the Christian military training manual. And that, this is why it's so important, folks. Okay. It's really not about selling books. It's about the information between the covers that's so important, that is consistent with biblical scripture and the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank you for doing that. I'm going to turn it back right to you. And I appreciate this because, man, I'll tell you what, your background, and I know your background. I've met you, and I think the first time we met was in Bozeman. But the fact of the matter is, you are a man that I look up to, and I appreciate you.
Is that a joke?
No. Well,
no. I think, hey, Doug, I think we both look up to John because when I saw him, I said, I wanted to get on a stepladder. When I saw John and saw how tall he is, 7 feet, I thought, cool. God, you gave me. So I was going to actually, I know what I was going to do. Remember, John, I said, I was going to bring a platform up here and have you as a 7 foot guy stand on a 3 foot platform just to put into, you know, a tall perspective. Now the giants were broad too, but you know, I think it's kind of interesting, just your God given height and, you know, your stature. And I'm not making a joke. You know that I'm as serious as possible, that I'm capable of being. So, you know, stepping into your shoes is a big deal. So, Doug, when you look up to John, you literally look up to John. I go, you know, and I think God did that for everybody at the conference when you were there. But going on, how do, and the plan that you've presented and stuff, but how do, brother, how do you believe, given the time we're in, given the time we're at, and how fast things are accelerating, what's your sense of God's accelerated plan to bring, in essence, a warrior's mentality into a weenie's mindset?
Mm. Steve, great question. And I'll tell you, something I feel convicted to speak to is what is happening, and even more accurately, what is not happening from the pulpits. You do not have to read your Bible much to see courage, fearlessness, overcoming fear, confronting the enemy, and bold, proactive behavior by the heroes of our faith. It's certainly in the Old Testament. It's all the way through the New Testament. You read what Stephen did in confronting the Pharisees. He had to know that he was risking his life when he boldly, fearlessly convicted the Pharisees of their hideous godlessness. And so much so that they couldn't even render a verdict. They tore their clothes and they yanked him outside and they stoned him to death. And that sort of fearlessness is what these times today call for. And the fact that the emasculated pulpits in not all of the churches, but the vast majority of the churches have been castrated, for lack of a better term. They've been stripped of their manhood, and they're not emboldening us. And of course, the exceptions prove the rule. There are exceptions in quite a few places, but we have to stand up. We have to take action. We have to be bold, and we have to be a worthy reflection and embodiment of the God who we serve. If we served a God who is as impotent as the idols that the Israelites would make, and I'm reminded of the scripture where the idol maker takes wood, and he takes one piece and he starts to fashion gold over it, and he takes the other piece and he puts it in the fire to keep warm. That's not the God we serve. That's the antithesis. The God we serve is the mighty Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That's heavenly armies. And I'll tell you, Steve, an emboldening epiphany I had in recent months was, he's the Lord of hosts, but it's not just the heavenly hosts. He has earthly hosts, and they are us. And so throughout Scripture, we are exhorted, whether it's commands in the New Testament from writers like Paul or Peter, or whether it's through Jesus himself in the Gospels, or whether it's from the heroes of our faith in the Old Testament. We are commanded to stand, to occupy, and to overcome, to borrow from what Paul wrote in various of his letters. We are to do all those things. And it's not just the boldest among us, you know, and believe it or not, I there was a time when I was not bold. You know, there was a time when I let me relate the story. My first Christian conference was in Dallas in, I think, 2015. And I heard Flip Benham speak for an hour and a half about abortion. And God laid it on my heart in that speech to stand up against abortion. And it took me 8 months to honor that call because it felt very uncomfortable to go at 6 a.m. and stand on a sidewalk and preach and pray and exhort mostly naive young women not to murder their babies. And that took 8 months. And I regret that, but it I felt like Gideon. I felt like Gideon with the who I think was Jesus. It was a Christophany in the story of Gideon, and where he says, "Greetings, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon's down in the wine press. He's not playing the part of a mighty man of valor yet. But through his development and through his faithfulness, God gives him greater and greater responsibilities to the point where he's leading an army of 300, if you can call that an army. He's leading a company of 300 against this mighty Midianite army. And that has to be the story that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of us, answer the clarion cry for, that we, even if you're starting with little steps, if you're not stepping out, if you're not exercising your boldness, you're not doing it right. And in this season, the flood of evil coming in that we all can see, if you're listening to Hagman, you're following Steve Quayle, you know there's a flood of evil coming. You have to stand up or it's going to wash you away. And that was a seminal message and a seminal core of this work that I wrote, not only to just encouraging you, get up, get moving, but giving you the building blocks, giving you the heroes of our faith, giving you, I put in there, Steve and Doug, over 100 verses and passages from Scripture that reflect not only the courage and the boldness and the faithfulness of the heroes of our faith, but God's encouragement and promises to us that he will be there. He will fight the fight for us. He will be our vanguard and our rear guard. He will never leave us or forsake us. And if that's the God that we worship and we are faithful to him in return for his faithfulness to us, then that's what we'll do. We will stand, we will occupy, and we will overcome. And that's the core of Nehemiah Strong.
And Steve and John, I just want to say this real quick, and then I'll turn it right over to Steve. One of my favorite sentences in the book is this: "The world draws a line in sand. A three-year-old could erase or move it. Carve yours in stone." Okay, so that to me, all right, because we all hear, well, this is a hill we're going to die on. This is the hill. You know what? The hill keeps moving, all right? So as Christians, and by the way, this book has not just scriptural quotes from Scripture, but forms and tactics and I mean, everything in there, a public servant questionnaire responses or questionnaires, essential papers to guide you through this matrix of deception. So Steve, to you, sir, and what John said, man, I'm telling you, we need more of that.
John used one of the most important scriptures, I think, in the entire Old Testament because a Christophany, let me explain that. I don't think I heard you explain that. A Christophany is the presence of Jesus Christ, normally referred to as the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord. And what he did when he spoke, the angel of the Lord spoke to Gideon, he called the things that weren't as though they were. And this is why it's so important to get a transformational encounter with Jesus. And it's interesting, isn't it? You know, this is funny. How does a guy hanging out from the Midianites that would probably kill him, how does he get called a mighty man of valor? God sees us as who we can be. God knows who we will be if we will yield to him and stand. You know, I quote the scriptures. That's why I got all these lion pictures, that the righteous are as bold as lions. Jesus is the real lion. So I think it's important that, ladies and gentlemen, what John just said is critical to understanding Nehemiah strong. Look, I really believe in this, but I got to tell you, I'm the oldest guy right now on this, you know, broadcast, but it's young men and it's guys that are called that will make the difference. You know, for instance, Jamie Walden, too. We need to be warriors. And the word host, let me make it clear, the hosts of heaven, that word means the armies of heaven. And you may have not said that. I apologize. I've got really bad hearing, believing God to heal it. But the bottom line is that you talk about in Nehemiah, there's nobody that was willing to stand and build yet had their weapon in hand. You know, listen, this may make a lot of people furious, but the contemporary weapon of our day is an AR-15. It truly is. And I'm saying, or whatever battle rifle, whatever, you know, a person has. I'm not just pushing ARs. I'm just saying that's it. But they forget the other hand. They have to build. So, John, I mean, if you were to bottom line it, how do you see God breaking through breaking through this pacifistic, meowificated mentality? I'm going to be very proper, you know, where I guess Gideon, if you remember when God chose his army, nobody who bowed and lapped water out of the brook could be considered worthy. So what I'm saying is it has to be alert people, and they had to draw their water to their mouth. You know, in the woods, we have grizzly bears. We have really, humans that think they're that nasty, and they are. But you never put your face down the water. And, you know, you have to be alert. So please address that issue, because it's your description of Nehemiah Strong about, again, you take the heroes of faith. But what was the common denominator as you were writing your book that stood out to you, that God provoked you to write and to draw attention to? The qualities.
Great question. I think one of the first pieces was that, and I'm so thankful for these, you know, that so many watchmen on the wall, and it's like I've seen more and more watchmen climb up on the wall, exhort others. You've got to be alert. You've got to recognize what's going on. You've got to have eyes to see, have discernment, Steve. I know how important discernment is to you, and you're constantly exhorting people regarding discernment. Gregoruo, I love the Greek, and Gregoruo speaking to, you know, we name our sons Gregory, but we forget what it means. It means to be watchful, to be a watchman. And so we have this band of watchmen, as I pictured in my mind's eye, but this band of watchmen, there are more watchmen climbing up on the wall saying, it's coming, the enemy's coming, the enemy's here, he's climbing up the wall. He's, you know, we hear these exhortations. And this growing voice of exhortations about the danger that now, as we sit here, May 2022, it's not that it's coming. I've heard you say this. It's here. And if you were to reissue the book, Midnight Strikes, you would have to retitle it, Midnight Has Struck. It's already struck. We're in it now. We're in the midst of it. And what compelled me so much, Steve, in writing the book was what do we do as people listening and tracking the watchmen? What do we do now? And I'll tell you, the first thing after I speak in the book, I have a section called Broken Arrow, You Are Here, which is, I think, pretty descriptive. Broken Arrow being when the enemy has utterly overrun the camp of the friendlies of your force. That's where we are. And so the first section after that, and I really got this from training with some really godly men. One of them, John Lovell, who I love and give a shout out to, Warrior Poet Society. Another NC Scout, who's a lovely man of God and is travels all over the country training and exhorting in real tactical skills that he learned in faraway lands. But the first, and we've been talking about it, the first thing you have to do is you have to acquire a warrior mindset. And I'll tell you, it's something, you know, I'm not a veteran. It's at my size. I don't know what I would fit in terms of military gear or vehicles or whatnot, but, I've trained with him, and without a doubt, without an exception, they all start with the warrior mindset. If you do not come to the battle prepared to win in your heart first, you can't win. And you know, Steve and Doug, I would ask you, look at these faces of the folks who were willing to risk serious jail time, battling over the possibility that Roe versus Wade would be turned over. Now, obviously, we utterly oppose their position, but you've got to give the devil his due, so to speak. They are passionate. They are driven. They are motivated. They are committed to their side of the fight, and they're not going to stop. And I'll tell you, Steve, you're asking about the origin of it and what's next. The enemy that is coming in like a flood, like the Lord's word speaks of in Isaiah 59, it is not going to stop. We're not going to convince them of the error of their ways. They are given over to a strong delusion, and they will spend the rest of whatever life they have pushing and pushing and pushing. And with that in mind, it is imperative that we not only recognize that we are all in a prison planet, we are all on the battlefield. Amen. No matter how shrunk back you want to be, how much you want to, you know, be a hole up in the woods and have a bunch of provisions, and there's a merit to that, but it's still coming there. It's coming everywhere, and there's no avoiding it. And in the first place, we have to start in overcoming, standing, and occupying is that warrior mindset, the heart of a warrior. And thank God, literally, thank God, in his word, there is so many examples, not only of heroes of our faith who had that warrior mindset, but also heroes of our faith who converted to that warrior mindset. You can't read scripture and be open to God's word and the truth of it and simultaneously believe that, oh, you know, what John's talking about, that's for others, but that's not for me. I have a lovely, lovely friend of mine who's in her 70s. I'll call her Karen. She's not a Karen, but I'll call her Karen. God laid it on her heart to get involved in abortion ministry. And she started coming out a couple mornings a week in the cold on the sidewalk. And she is, I mean, she could almost fit in my pocket. She's so small. And she's in her 70s. And her loving, lovely boldness and faithfulness, she had the warrior mindset, but she had it in the mode that was appropriate for her, right? She's not going to go, you know, charging into some kinetic situation, but she was faithful in the form or the context that God called her for. And she performed lovely ministry, going up to COVID, coming out there faithfully, exhorting these blinded young women, and really speaking truth to power, speaking God's word. So to me, Steve and Doug, that's an example of we're not all called to tote battle rifles, right? We're not all called to storm the enemy gates, right? But we know from what Jesus said at Caesarea Philippi, the gates of hell will not withstand his church, and that's us. And whatever part of the body of Christ you are, whatever you feel stirred in your spirit to respond to, that place on the battlefield, now is the time. Now is the time for you to stand up, for you to go to that place, whatever that place is. And there are 100,000 places, right? Types of places. Whatever that place is, you go there, you stand, you occupy, and you press into getting that warrior mindset that you can develop and strengthen like Gideon did. It's like a muscle. You may be very weak right now. You may think, you know, what John's saying, that sounds great and all for somebody else. It's not me. Brother or sister, if you are a follower of Jesus, it is you. It is you. And like I've heard Steve talk about, you may be a prayer warrior. Nobody may ever see your fearlessness, your courage in your place on the battlefield, but God will see it and God will know, and you will send the enemy to flight with your prayers, as one example.
You know, when you talk about the heart of a warrior, Jesus is called the King of Glory. Obviously, he's who we're to, you know, model our lives after. And the mighty men of God, you know what was interesting? When David came against Goliath, you know, he was jealous for the Lord of hosts. Now, that meant David. Remember, he was a shepherd. He fought a lion and a bear, killed him with a sling. That takes some testicles, you know? Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, but he didn't take on Goliath without having his training. So Here's my question, John. Define the heart of the warrior as everything you've studied, obviously scripture. You know the Greek, you know the Hebrew. I mean, those words are definitive. But describe one of the things that I think is missing in everything, and I want you to respond to this, is the passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. When the scripture says that the man whom the Lord has redeemed, or woman, speak up, say so. You probably heard me say this. This is my perpetual prayer before the Lord. Where are the people of passion? We overcome the Lord by the blood. We overcome the world through the word of the Lord, but also by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and loving not our lives unto death. So define for our sakes, if you will, as you've seen, everything you've used in Nehemiah Strong, all the biblical examples, if you would, define where passion, if it would, jealousy for the Lord God of heaven. And I say that in the righteous awe for the Lord God of heaven. The word awful used to mean full of awe. But please answer that question, because I think terms like heart of the warrior, that, and without reading your book, okay, it's almost meaningless because people can't relate to that. Now, obviously, a Marine, a cannon stuff, but as you've been instructed to basically, how do I say this, command the armies of the, you're saying the same thing, basically, I'm not saying you're Jesus, I'm saying the same word, the angel of the Lord commanding Gideon, Gideon, come forth. I mean, you know, I'd be kind of happy if I were Gideon, that's, and man, at least, well, I'm going to go out with some wine on my lips. And by the way, I don't drink anything. So define that for us, because I think we use terms and nobody has a clue, because basically biblical Christians, and I say this, outside those who are discipled or taught, are biblically illiterate.
Yep. And Steve, I think you ended at a great starting point for this. One of the aspects, and we're all familiar with it, right? One of the aspects of Christianity, and I'm speaking for Americans today because that's the context that I know. I know that I believe this to be less true in other more faith-filled nations as a whole. We don't read our Bibles. And Lord knows how many Bibles there are in America, and I wonder at how many of them are covered with dust. and the owners don't know where they are. So for me, I think it really starts with being in the Word, walking out your faith. If you believe in Jesus, if you describe yourself as a Christian, Christian means like little Christ or like Christ, like Jesus. And if he is, as John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was Jesus, is Jesus, will always be Jesus. I think, Steve, about the heroes of our faith in times past, how much would the faithful remnant in Israel have loved to have had a New Testament? How much would they have loved to even have a Bible, because they didn't have printing presses? They couldn't afford a Bible. They had to go to the synagogue to hear a piece of it. And yet we have this thing sitting around. It is the Word of God. It is powerful. It will accomplish everything it's sent out to do. It will not return void. And so my first exhortation would be, get into the Bible. One of the things that was really life-changing for me as I wrote this book, and God was so loving and lovely to me as I wrote it, because it was a long slog and it was hard. It was a hard task. He constantly brought before me scriptures of exhortation, of encouragement, of strength, of God's promises. And we know from 1 Corinthians 1:20, every promise is yes and amen through Jesus. So first point I would say is you've got to be in your scripture. Second point is really ponder and consider the nature, and I would even say the magnitude, of the God you follow. One of the things that irks me continually is the imagery that the church today, and particularly the Catholic Church, and love Catholics, not bashing Catholics, it's a particular aspect of habit in the Catholic Church, but also Protestant churches, is they present Jesus as either a helpless baby lying in a manger or in the arms of Mary, or a broken, crucified body on a cross. He was both those things. He is neither of those things. Look at the lions on the wall behind Steve. That is more, and it even fails to do justice for who Jesus Christ is today. He is the Lion of Judah. And as it says in Revelation, he is returning to judge and to make war. That is no baby, and that is no broken, crucified, dead body on a cross. That is the living Christ, the Son of God, who always was, the only begotten Son, who is a type for us that we worship such an astounding God. And that would be the third point I'd make, Steve. The plans that God has for us. And he says in his word, no man understands, knows the plans I have for you. No mind is conceived, no ear is heard. What is it? No eye has seen, no ear
has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man at any time those things that the Lord has prepared for those who love him.
Yes.
What a fabulous scripture. But here's something else. And this is something I really think, John, you got to address. Where is the passion of the believer? And by the way, the scripture also says, even though we've known Jesus after the flesh, henceforth we know him. In other words, we don't hang out in the manger. We don't just peer at the cross, the empty tomb. We know him as the exalted, victorious conqueror of death. And that's why, you know, this, and can I say something? Well, of course I can. I'm going to do it anyway. The thing is it's to provoke people to turn their eyes upon Jesus. I got news for you. Most people who claim to be Christians, if they understood the beauty, the majesty, you know, in my, you know, golden years, whatever that means, you know, in my last years, the provocation of the younger people to rise up. And here's what I notice. You addressed it. Why are Antifa? Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the, I guess what I'm saying is, John, you know the word. Jesus said, if we don't confess him before men, he won't confess us before his Father. It's yep. not the concept of Christ. Christ is the Messiah. We're told in the scripture, there's going to be a false Messiah. There's going to be a false Christ, but there's not going to be a false Jesus. Anybody that knows the occult, and I know you know this as better or as well as anybody, excuse me, working with Russ all those years, and Doug and everything, that they hate the name of Jesus. So let me ask you this. Can you see anything in your studies where there wasn't a passion for God? Can you see any place where there, even in the New Testament, and this is why, I don't know if you heard it, but we're going to call everybody to fasting and praying around the world on June 1st, repenting of our nation sins. No matter what country you live in, all the kings of the earth have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. That's mm-hmm. God the Father and Jesus saying, we won't have these guys rule over us. Not guys, I don't mean that disrespectful. Yeah. But the point is that to confess our sins, our country's sins, but then to ask God, this is the focus of our prayer, to beseech the Lord in one accord, to pour out his spirit on all flesh, because what the disciples were before the book of Acts, it was absolutely not the same as after. And it was so important that Jesus said, you know, tarry in Jerusalem until the promise. But my whole point, and somebody says, you sound like a broken record. Yeah, because I don't see the passion. I don't see the desire. So when I say passion, I'm talking, you know, I mean, you take the men of God, they were jealous for the name of the Lord. Yet we allow the slaughter of babies, of course. We allow the slaughter of the name of Jesus. We allow those false pictures. And I categorically reject the picture of or the presentation of Jesus on the cross that the Pope carries. There's yep. really a symbolism there that I pray most Catholics pray and ask the Lord to show them. I have Catholic friends. I have friends that are Catholic or once Catholic that are my friends. I know Protestants that make me nuts because they roll over for abortion, okay? Mm. Yet and you know, I'm just saying this. Please explain, and ladies and gentlemen, it's important that you understand this, because Nehemiah, he had a hearing heart. The wisest thing any man in the world, the wisest man asked for with God was a hearing heart. So please, talk about the passion that you lay out in the book of Nehemiah, because there was a desire that went beyond their own living circumstances, but it was the purpose of God that called men and women, Queen Esther, you know, to basically be willing to lay it all on the line, you know? So please address that.
Sure. And something I'm going to say, Steve, that I pray that thousands of you listening today hear me when I say this. If you see Steve, if you see Doug, if you see me, and you see a fire for the Lord, for Jesus, for his mission, his desire, not only in our lives, but for us to be powerfully effective in this time, this day, this year, for him, his kingdom, his goals, his desires, and you think to yourself, oh, that's them, I just don't have that, you're missing an important point. And I don't know specifically for Doug, because we haven't talked about this specific aspect, but I'm willing to bet all three of us had long seasons in our lives where we didn't have this. It's not something you're necessarily born with, although I'm sure there are exceptions, but it's something you acquire. And it's something that I'm sure that the Holy Spirit plays a role in drawing you to. And I felt it in my life as my eyes were opened. But it's something you have to seek as well. And I'm reminded of Scripture, Steve, where it says, my people have not because they ask not. If you want to feel a degree of passion and fire and devotion and fullness might be the best word, of love and desire to do God's will in your life. I'll put it this way. The second thing I would encourage you to do is to seek God's face. Get on your knees tonight and seek his face earnestly, honestly, humbly, ask him to pour his spirit into your spirit, to move in your life, to be the Lord of your life. Don't just be, whatever you do, do not just be a Christian in name only. Do not simply say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian, and then go on and look unlike or look in a way that's not any different from the world around you. If people can't tell that you're a believer, you're not doing it right. And whether it's by your actions, whether it's by participating, whether it's by not speaking up when somebody uses Jesus Christ's name as a curse word, whatever it is, you must look different. And so my first point would be, or second point would be, to seek God's face and earnestly pray for that passion, that spirit, that drive that I've only acquired in the last few years, where God has really moved and made a difference in my life. I said second because my first point, and I go over this in Nehemiah Strong, is if you are mocking God by calling yourself a Christian and participating in repetitive, unrepentant sin, brother or sister, you have to repent and turn away from and run from that habitual sin because it will lead to your destruction. You can say you're a Christian 1,000 times, and if you perpetuate that sin, go read Hebrews 10. Go read the second half of Hebrews 10. And there's a dichotomy here, right? Once saved, always saved. I've heard that 1,000 times, but you've got to deal with Hebrews 10. There's nothing left but destruction for those whose lives in perpetual sin lead to their destruction. And the hypocrisy of speaking as a Christian or claiming something that ultimately isn't practiced and isn't reflected in the fruit of that tree, and you are that tree. So my first exhortation would be run from that repetitive sin. Run to the arms of Jesus, run to the foot of the cross, and get ready to get seriously fired up and strengthened through the Holy Spirit for the fight that we are in as we speak.
We have about 2.5 minutes left. I just want to let people know that Nehemiah Strong, the book is an 8.5 by 11, full color, 480, I'll get this right, 480-page book. It contains 13 main body sections, 258 subsections, 32 essential supplements, 15 exhibits, over 100 scripture references, and hundreds of links to online and supplemental information. Again, that's Nehemiah Strong. That's the name of the book. And by the way, folks, if you go to johndiceland.com, the link will be in the program description box at hagmanreport.com. Enter the promo code Doug and the number 1. You'll get 10% off before shipping and taxes through the 29th of May. It's a great, great deal. Again, 1.5 minutes, 30 seconds each. Steve and John, go ahead. Steve first.
I'll take 5-10 seconds, okay? Countdown. Life-sustaining essentials. There's nothing more I can say. And I guess, John, in order to fight a battle, they've got to understand. We've all got to understand. They're making war on us, and they have only one goal, to destroy us all. Go ahead, sir. Take the last.
Absolutely. With the warrior mindset, you've got to have equipment, right? And in the book, Nehemiah Strong, I speak at length about things like the armor of Christ. In fact, there's a revelation to a dear friend of mine, Carlos, about how the armor of God is Jesus Christ. And I prove it out with scripture. But once you've got that strengthening armor and that equipping through the Holy Spirit for the battle, I've got hundreds of pages of practical, real-world, tangible equipping, whether it's being equipped for somebody who knocks at your door and wants to quarantine your kids because they got contact traced to somebody at a restaurant, to having comically thorough questionnaires for people who come to the door, and even fighting against what the next pathogen might be through the Chinese defector who told us what she believed it might be, equipped it with hundreds of pages of equipping practically, but started with the spiritual because that's where it all starts.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Steve, thank you so much for a great program. John, thank you for a great program, great book. And that's Nehemiah Strong, John Dyslin, D-Y-S-L-I-N, johndyslin.com. And again, take advantage of the offer. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. God bless both of you. And folks, until tomorrow, good night.
Blessings, Doug.
All right. Good night.